Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 19th, 2010 on the West Coast, now January the 20th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. And we'd like to welcome those who may be listening in live on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. Got a great show for you tonight. Actually, we have two guests. For those of you who just happened to tune in by accident or without looking at the schedule, it'll be a surprise if you did look at the schedule and you know who's here. They'll be on shortly. I want to start off tonight's show with an outline referencing some of the highlighted points of Obamacare. And this is the second official in the government who has outlined parts of the healthcare bill known as HB 3200. This is from Judge Kit Hill of Marble Falls, Texas. And he's taken it upon himself to outline, or highlight, I should say, the most egregious excerpts of that bill. Judge Kidhill wrote, page 50, section 152, the bill will provide insurance to all non-U.S. residents, even if they are here illegally. Page 58 and page 59, the government will have real-time access to an individual's bank account and will have the authority to make electronic fund transfers from those accounts. Why am I not surprised? Page 65, section 164. The plan will be subsidized by the government for all union members, union retirees, and for community organizations, such as the Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now, otherwise known as ACORN. Page 203, lines 14 through 15, the tax imposed under this section will not be treated as a tax. And in parentheses, how could anybody in their right mind come up with that? Pages 241 and 253, doctors will all be paid the same regardless of specialty, and the government will set all doctors' fees. Page 272, section 1145. Cancer hospitals will ration care according to the patient's age. Page 317. That sounds a little bit like discrimination, doesn't it? That's what they've been telling us, the Democrats, that this is discrimination against the underprivileged if this doesn't pass. Yet they're going to mete out care according to your age at the hospitals. Are you surprised? Pages 317 and 321. The government will impose a prohibition on hospital expansion. However, communities may petition for an exception. Page 425, lines 4 through 12. The government mandates advanced care planning consultations. Those on Social Security will be required to attend an end-of-life planning seminar every 5 years, otherwise known as death counseling. Page 429, lines 13 through 25, the government will specify which doctors can write an end-of-life order. Now, it seems to me, and this is my comment here, that Dr. Jack Kevorkian some years ago was indicted for murder, for having assisted those that wanted to be a part of what they were calling at the time mercy killing for terminal diseases to end needless suffering. And yet now the government is going to specify which doctors can write end-of-life orders. Now they're putting God in the hands of the doctors and in the hands of the government, but they deny God exists at the same time. Oh, my goodness. Finally, it is specifically stated that this bill will not apply to members of Congress. Members of Congress are already exempt from the Social Security system and have a well-funded private plan that covers their retirement needs. If they were on our Social Security plan, I believe they would find a very quick fix to make the plan financially sound for their future. Honorable David Kit Hill, Marble Falls, Texas. And the email that came with this says, all of the above should give you the point-blank ammo you need to support your opposition to Obamacare. And the recipients are encouraged to forward this to many, many other people. Are you aware, ladies and gentlemen, that the Congress is exempt from Social Security? And when did that begin? Did that begin when they became attorneys or judges or employees of the government or cronies of some of the crime families that push drugs and steal trillions of dollars from you? And steal your homes, and on and on and on and on. Boy, if this doesn't get your gander up, I don't know what will. We're going to segue into a more ethereal portion of the program, and I'm going to do that via music. We're going to listen to David Benoit's The Key to You, sung by former Ambrosia lead singer David Pack. Thank you. David Benoit and featured vocalist David Pack singing "The Key to You." I guess it could that could be a implied to mean the key to anything, really. The key to figuring out all the fraud that's going on. Hopefully that song, that music, dispelled all the negative energy that this news that I opened up with created. And we're going to bring on the first of two guests that we have tonight. He has been on over 90 shows here on Evident Footprints over the past few years. Shortly after I penned my article for the Idaho Observer that revealed the identity of the Bush Clan as Nazis from Nazi Germany under the name Scherf. And he expressed an interest in my writing, and I had been a fan of his website. It's a very, very popular website, by the way, called educate-yourself.org. He is an investigative journalist himself. He is a metaphysician, and he's the editor of his website. He does all the work himself, and he's back again for another round on Evident Footprints, my good friend, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, John. It's a pleasure to be on again.
Did you just call me John?
I might have slightly slurred my words. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sure it's Don.
We can make mistakes. Okay. Ben. I mean Ken.
Len, Ken, yeah.
Well, how are you, first of all?
Okay. Thanks very much. I was interested to hear how you started the show. I just put up a short piece on my website this morning that I didn't address Obamacare. I was thinking of doing that in the next few days because it looks like there's a fairly substantial push in the House to push back Obamacare. But as any radio pundit will tell you, the likelihood of the Senate reversing Obamacare is small. And of course, Obama would not sign it in any event, and he would have to have a two-thirds override of his veto. So I'm always hopeful that such an event takes place. Obamacare is a serious step forward into a type of government control over the people of this country, which we have not experienced to date. Properly, that sort of control of the type that Obamacare outlines is properly categorized as an expression of communism.
Yeah.
Obama is a communist. He always has been. He was mentored in the communist philosophy by people like Frank Marshall Davis, who he mentions in his book. We are told his mother, Stanley Ann, was of the communist persuasion, etc.
Yeah.
We have serious doubts if Stanley Ann was his biological mother. Nevertheless, there was likely a relationship there as a surrogate mother, but she was committed to communist ideologies. And just in the last few days, there's a state visit to Washington by the head of the of communist China, Hu Jintao, which was the subject of this short article that I put up this morning. And I criticized the Obama regime for the manner in which they are hosting Hu Jintao. I essentially said in the short one-page piece that we should only reserve our red carpet treatments in which we are treating a foreign state head of a country with the grand pomp and circumstance that they're treating this fellow. We should only do that for our best and strongest allies. We certainly shouldn't be doing it for a powerful communist, probably one of the most powerful communist dictators on the face of the earth. We have a duty as Americans to uphold the principles of freedom, democracy, etc., and the communist way of life, the communist regime of government, are, you know, completely opposite of the sort of government structure in life that Americans traditionally have embraced. And to give this guy such a warm and royal welcome is essentially endorsing him, endorsing his type of government. So now we're at the point where the level of this betrayal and treason has reached a new plateau in which we're actually feting, hosting, and celebrating the arrival of the dictator of communist China. To me, it is absolutely outrageous, and every American who still has a brain needs to realize the implications of this. This is the communist Obama, the illegal alien occupying the White House fraudulently, embracing a guy who he should be talking with, to be sure, but done in a very distant way, certainly without this sort of formality of reception.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
in my own research, if I can say so, in the Three Stooges Go to Washington, I revealed the true goings on with his alleged mother, the Stanley Ann Dunham, the girl who got a boy's name because her father wanted a boy. You know,
right.
How many Bills are running around, do you think, in wearing dresses these days?
Right.
Or Jacks or Bobs.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, and those names have their female counterparts, but the point I'm making is that the Seattle area, the church they allegedly attended was called the Little Red Chapel.
Oh, my Lord. Right. You are. I forgot about that.
Yes. They were known to support the Chinese communist cause.
Yes. Thank you. You're absolutely right.
So I just thought I would throw that in to back up what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a good point. And just to close out this remark, I mentioned in my article that communism was created by the Illuminati, by the Rothschilds of Europe. They were the group who essentially funded and allowed Karl Marx to operate in London. Karl Marx, if I recall, which is not his birth name. I think he was of a Jewish background.
Yeah, I've got it written down somewhere, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, he was essentially underwritten by the Rothschilds, and he produced Communist Manifesto in 1848 in London, and that is the blueprint, if you will, of communism. And the Russian Revolution, which took place in 1917, was essentially a peasant overthrow of the monarchy in Russia, but it was fueled and then taken over by Zionist agents. Again, Rothschild, and in the 20th century, the Rockefeller family played a significant role in helping funding the insertion of both Lenin and Trotsky into Russia, and greased the skids for them, provided all the money. Good Lord, they took a famous secret train ride across Europe from Switzerland to get into Russia, in which they were bringing train cars that had a substantial amount of gold in them into Russia in order to grease the palms and essentially take over the revolution. And they changed the name to the Bolshevik Revolution. And from 1917 forward, you had the installation of a communist regime in Russia, which only supposedly fell in 1989, 1990, 1991, during that fall of the Berlin Wall and all that. That, of course, was a planned, let's say, fall down of the communist regime, because it was necessary to set the stage for a sort of, quote, democratic Russia to kind of play ball with the U.S. So the U.S., in turn, would let their guard down, and we could, let certain boogeymen that were produced by the Cold War kind of fade into the distance, so we can, shift our focus to the Middle East and the growth of the conflict, which, Israel has fostered. Again, Israel, another creation of the Rothschilds. So the conflicts we're experiencing in the world, the turmoils we're having, are planned events. They're all planned events. Mm-hmm. And the current phase of the planning is designed to cause the dissolution of the United States. This is why we have a virtual illegal alien in charge of the government. This guy was installed, as it were, through trickery, through fakery, through rigged elections, through massive funding from outside sources. It should be plain to the American people what we're in the grips of, and to first realize it's happening, and then to take the steps that are necessary to resist cooperating with this agenda. You mentioned if Obamacare is successful, it's not repealed. I guess 2014, the provisions are going to start. If I'm not going to be attending any death conferences.
Extortion. I mean, it's insanity.
It's an outrage. And if enough people become sufficiently outraged and withdraw their participation in their ever-tightening schemes of control, I believe what will happen is that enough inertia will be generated that this so-called 100th monkey effect will begin to take place in many quarters of American life. I just got an email from a nurse on the East Coast who was writing to me about chembusters and chemtrail program, et cetera. But she was also telling me other interesting things, how difficult it is for her to do her job. She said, the orthodox medical system, and she works in a hospital, et cetera, is insane. And what she means by that is that we've allowed the so-called medical profession to be so overrun by pharmaceutical propaganda that now we poison children with vaccines and insist that these poisonings take place. Otherwise, kids can't go to school. Otherwise, parents get arrested by child protection because they're supposedly neglecting their kids. Another insane Kafkaesque sort of scenarios, all because too many in that profession, organized medicine, have allowed themselves to be co-opted by the pharmaceutical interests, so that now there's such a heavy-handed push for vaccinations, swine flu, etc., that it's exceeded anything that you could call reasonable conduct. Now you're either go along with the program or you're viciously attacked and ostracized, as Dr. Andrew Wakefield has experienced in the last few weeks over mainstream news and the internet. Here's a British doctor who was doing yeoman's work in bringing forward research data that was demonstrating a clear and undeniable link between childhood vaccinations and autism. And the establishment, meaning established medicine and their pharmaceutical overlords, decided to make an example of Andrew Wakefield. So they've launched an unbelievable propaganda blitz against this man that began to erupt over the radio about a week and a half or so ago. I heard 2 or 3 days continuous on NPR slamming this man to an unbelievable degree. I heard it on AM radio. It's such an obviously orchestrated smear campaign. It's typical of what they do. When they want to smash somebody's career, they just turn on all the valves, and every AM and FM talk radio show will focus on this guy to bring him down. I don't care whether they're trying to destroy the image and reputation of an actor, or in this case of this doctor. When they turn on this machinery, it's practically worldwide now when they pour on the heat. So I'll stop with that. I wanted to devote the majority of this show to our second guest host. Z.S. Livingstone has been featured on my website since about 2002. I'm very happy to have him as a contributing essayist and commenter on my website. I get a tremendous amount of positive mail talking about the fact that they appreciate what Z.S. Livingstone has to say on the many extraordinary essays that he's posted to my website in these past 8 years.
Yeah, before we bring him on, I just want to make one more comment and along the lines of what you were talking about here, because you touched on something very important. There's a segment of society, and this is around the world, that doesn't really pay attention to politics. You know, Frank Zappa said, politics is the entertainment branch of government. Okay? So there are people that are just not interested in what they do, because they have more of an interest in at least in their minds and maybe even in their hearts, is more real to them, and that's their religious conviction. And this country, which was founded in as a Christian nation, a Christian republic, has over the years come under attack with this politicized religion that comes out of Europe called British Israelism. And that's nothing but communism in disguise, in my opinion. So I thought I would add that.
Well, thank you. Yes, I have a section on my website. I put up an article, I think it was about 5 years ago approximately, called British Israel. I didn't make up the term, but I had taken it from the pages of a book that I had found, of all places, on the internet archives of the Wayback Machine. You know, there's an organization called archive.org, which keeps a copy of most web pages that are posted. And I had been reading some letters sent by a fellow. This is, by the way, this was an archive. I was searching an archive, and he had mentioned a book that he thought was written by a woman by the name of Helen Peters. The name of the book is The Union Jack. For the first couple years, I found the book. I found the chapters of this book sequestered in these archives. So I had pasted them into, you know, new HTML pages on my site, and I put them on the same page in which I explain what the idea behind British Israel is. Anyway, I was contacted by a man a couple years later who had told me that Helen Peters was not the author of the book. In fact, the author, he knew the author's name. He did not want to reveal it to me because the person was still alive, he said. However, it wasn't Helen Peters. She had promoted the book while she was still alive. She, Helen Peters had died in the early 70s. So I made that correction on my site. Well, anyway, this book very ably explains the scheme called British Israel. And it has to do, again, as I mentioned in the earlier part, that the Rothschilds, again, the same group, the same Illuminati family who created communism to suit their larger agenda of creating a one world feudal government world, had also set in motion the idea of creating Israel as a Zionist state in the Middle East, so that from there they could essentially seed the turmoil that would spread throughout the Middle East and lead to what they had predicted would be World War III and Armageddon and all that. Mm. Again, we have these planners executing very long-range planning schemes that span centuries, because actually the whole current Illuminati takeover game was predicted in great detail by Albert Pike in the late 1700s. So this isn't a new game plan, but we're certainly in the latter stages, if you will, of their, let's call it their Armageddon scenario.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, thanks for mentioning British Israel. It is an important part of the story.
Okay, well, we don't want to delay our second guest any longer. As you mentioned, his name is Zuranova Star Livingstone. He writes a great number of essays that you've published on your website. And we could even say he himself is a very advanced metaphysician and, in a sense, a prophet. I recognize his gift of prophecy and discernment. So I want to invite Z.S. back to the show. How are you doing this evening, Z.S.?
I'm doing very well. Up here in Salmon Arm, British Columbia.
Okay. Thanks for being so patient through all this talk, my rant.
May I add to the British Israel part?
Sure, go ahead. Sure.
In the 1950s and 60s, there was a British Israel storefront on Dunsmuir Street, or near Dunsmuir Street in downtown Vancouver. And it was like a reading room on and they had just a small selection of books in there, and they had maps all pasted onto the window showing the 10 tribes of Israel spreading throughout Northern Europe and Germany and to England. And that's the one of the roots of the British Israel name itself. And it was called the British Israel Reading Room. And that site now is long gone, that storefront. And on that site is the courthouse for Vancouver, where a lot of the filming of the news series V is taking place. The sci-fi channel program V.
Do you think that's a coincidence?
It's very strange.
Well, so, of course, it has probably got some kind of occult meaning, and you know, they put it right in our face, don't they? Right.
Well, of course, the plot line is aliens taking over the planet.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, I'm familiar with the theme of the show. Of course, if one just keeps track of what movies they show on mainstream cable or satellite TV, they're going through the second or third cycle already of this year, this young year. We're in the first month, just into the third week of the first month. And they're showing the Halloween movies, and they're showing they have some new series on AMC, which is about zombies, you know, the living dead. And of course, this is tongue in cheek stuff. This is implied to mean us. And then the Predator, and they'll start. You watch in the next few days. It'll be Alien and Alien 2 and Alien 3, and you know, and somehow this is supposed to create fear or to condition us. But you know, it's novelty has worn off a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I have to say, I see plenty of shapeshifters on the internet and on mainstream TV on a daily basis. We don't need to watch movies to see them anymore. Right.
Another very strange coincidence with that TV series in Vancouver is that there, Joel Gresh, one of the actors who is also on Taken and a few other science fiction series, I think he's married to Spielberg's daughter, and is playing a pastor or a priest in the church I was raised in, St. James Anglican Church in Gorin Cadova in downtown Vancouver. And it's just spooky to me.
Close encounters of the fifth kind.
Yeah, invading your own church. Well, I left that church at age 15 when I had a voice speak to me and say, "What are you doing in there?" And I left and never returned. Huh.
Did you ever find out who the voice was or who it belonged to?
Later,
okay. Hopefully that turned out well.
Yes, it did.
Okay. You know, I've been following a lot of the things that have been occurring around the planet in recent months. You know, we had these Haiti earthquakes, and I know you wrote a very good piece on that, and I wanted to talk about that. And in fact, Ken even suggested that okay, we do speak about that. And there are a lot of other issues, the Gulf of Mexico, the dead birds that we're seeing around. It's funny, Michael Rockefeller supposedly did still photography and recorded sound for a movie called Dead Birds. That was in my Three Stooges piece. That's part 7.
Oh, wow.
You want to talk about synchronicity?
Was that in Indonesia, too?
Yes, it was, yeah. Papua New Guinea, the Dani Lani tribe, were filmed, and they were alleged to be these cannibals. But they're sitting in the grass. Of course, these are Photoshop compilations. Mm-hmm. And every picture that represented Michael Rockefeller took on a totally different appearance. The nose moved around in different directions. The ears were higher and lower than the nose. The chin was different. The hairline was different. It was nothing but a big psyop. And they even featured this on one of the, Ken, help me out. What's the name of that show now? I wrote about this.
Let's see. Psyops.
Leonard Nimoy.
The one with the he played Spock and all that. Is that the?
No. It was a. I have to go to my articles to see this now.
Now I know what you're talking about. He did those interview shows. Yes. Right. Exactly. You know, I'm having a block too. In search of. Thank you. Okay. That's it.
Back in 1977, I think it was episode 23 of the first season of that show. They did it in search of Michael Rockefeller, and they were alluding to the fact that he had worked on the Yale Peabody Institute expedition to do a documentary film on these cannibals, and of course. He suddenly disappeared, and the whole thing was a hoax. They recovered him, his friend, and another anthropologist, Rene Wassing, 20 miles out at sea. Yet you can see the shoreline within a couple hundred yards of where the media went to interview these people. The guy's plucked out of the water, bone dry, clean shaven. I mean, it was ridiculous. Anyway, I thought I would mention that because, it's another anachronism, if you want to use that term, that shouldn't be there. But it happened in 1961, the year that the guy I now call the no-legged Mac Daddy was born.
Can I ask you where that Mac Daddy term comes from?
Well, Mac Daddy is a term that's used in the ghetto, and this phrase, the long-legged Mac Daddy, was coined by Pastor James David Manning of the Outlaw Ministries in Harlem, or what he now calls Outlaw, in New York City. And eventually I saw a picture of the long-legged Mac Daddy. A Mac Daddy is sort of like a pimp, the neighborhood pimp. Uh-huh. And it's the term they use, and he's a minister, and he was using that term. And I asked him if I could borrow it, and he said, sure. He said, I don't own it. We use that on the street all the time. And then I saw him without shoes on one day in a photo with a very small young girl, and I thought, he's really not that tall. So I started calling him the short-legged Mac Daddy. Then when they lost some 60 or so seats in the House and Senate in the last election in 2010, November 2010, I began calling him the bow-legged Mac Daddy. and now, I mean, he's got no accountability or responsibility for anything, no birth certificate, no documentation. Anything to prove that he did any of the things they claimed he did. So now I call him the no-legged Mac Daddy. So,
okay.
So that's where the term came from. It's a progression. It's morphed, much like a shapeshifter. Okay.
Right.
But anyway, I didn't mean to go off on a tangent other than to tell you here, we're getting all these synchronicities of time and location and that. Haiti, I know you would like to talk about that. The background is that there was an earthquake, and several of us sensed that there were either a combination of some weapons or very high technologies used to produce a quake on one side of the an island and the neighboring republic.
Dominican Republic.
Yeah, the Dominican Republic did not suffer any of that damage.
Right.
And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's just the background. And
The first earthquake was about 7.3, and that broke everything free. Then it was hit with about 40 4.7 to 5.2, 0.3 Richter earthquakes, which were very strange on the seismographs I checked. There was just single slash marks. Most normal earthquakes show preceding tremors, then it goes to maximum, then it tapers down, a bell-shaped curve or a double bell-shaped curve up and down on the graph. This the earthquakes, about 40 of them in a row, were all at the 10 kilometers depth or in that vicinity, localized just south, most of them a band, a mountain band, just south of Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And the area was not seismically active. There's barely been any earthquakes there for couple hundred years, though it is a mountain ridge that was formed by a subduction zone that is defined by the Caribbean plate up against the North American plate. But that most of that fracture zone is to the north and actually goes through southern Cuba through the Guantanamo Bay area, then over the top of the north out sea above north of Haiti. And of course, Port-au-Prince is on the south side of Haiti. And it was just too suspicious. And about a week afterwards, Hugo Chavez, president of Venezuela, said on CNN video that the earthquakes were created by American earthquake machine. And of course, there's been all sorts of rumors about HAARP and other equipment which has been using to create artificial earthquakes or artificial blowing hurricanes up to Category 5 from Category 1 in a 24-hour period. So they're boosting the energy.
Yeah, those things wouldn't naturally occur. There's obviously a use of some technology, one or more types, possibly.
And a lot of those hurricanes that, like Hugo, which hit Andrew, also went through Haiti. All the ones that hit the Gulf hit or bypassed or skimmed past Haiti or Puerto Rico, but it seems like they hit Haiti first. And Haiti's been getting a very bad deal, has had a very bad deal for like 200 years, ever since it declared independence from France. It was the first nation after America to declare independence in the Americas, and that was before Simon Bolivar went to work in South America. But Haiti was actually bartered by the Rothschilds from Napoleon as their private island, as part payment for the monies that France incurred in the Napoleonic Wars. That's a little factoid I just found out. And the Rothschilds consider it their private estate. It's not they don't see it as a nation at all. And then the slaves decided that during a time when they couldn't send troops in there, about 1798, Haiti said, well, bye-bye, France, we're on our own. We'll, they took an exact copy of the American Constitution, passed it through the legislature, and so the law of the land with the Declaration of Independence of France and the Constitution modeled on the American Constitution, Haiti should be a free land. But the landlords came back with force, and any time somebody's elected who's a populist, who wants to help the people, like Jean Bertrand Aristide a few years ago, and he starts moving money towards helping the people, he gets booted out. And they put a dictator in there who puts money in his pockets and puts the money and keeps the people impoverished.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the control mechanisms has been the United States Marine Corps. They've been in there 6, 7, 8 times. Who knows? Maybe it's 6 times officially. And that goes back well over 100 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, ES. It's my understanding that many of the international underwater cables that interconnect the international banking system go through Port-au-Prince. They go through Haiti. And that this destruction was basically another takeover. It was basically like the Battle of Baghdad and the most recent assault on Baghdad.
Right. There are wealthy families, but they're the ones who supported the dictators, the Duvalier.
Papa Doc, yeah.
Papa Doc. Baby Doc.
Yeah.
And other ones before that. And I could imagine that those cables would go into their estates. But, of course, they'd be proxies for the Rothschilds.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting that they still speak French. I mean, there were a lot of businessmen that speak English there. I saw a recent Frontline documentary. It's very well done, talking about the assault on these people. You can call them patriots. They're English speaking, and I suppose they speak French as well. They have to, because many of their workers speak French. But one man had a very large construction firm, and he repaired the damage done by the earthquake and was expanding, and they threatened to kill him, and they tried to get rid of him. He sent his wife and children out of the country into the United States, like that's going to make him any safer, you know. But
no,
but at least in his mind, it got it reduced the possibility of a fourth or fifth attempt to kidnap them and extort money out of them. He had paid 3 ransoms to get his family back before they were returned, and then he sent them out of the country.
Right.
And he's providing jobs. His intention is to do this, and you know, he's very courageous in that respect. So you are right. You know, they don't want this to happen. They want to see the people remained in a state of impoverishment.
Right.
So
what the Rothschilds are very interested in, the Haitian people, is that they have innate psychic abilities.
Mm-hmm.
They're a mixed action of actually Celtic blood from France, because most of the seamen who went to Quebec and to Evangeline, to New Orleans and all that, were Celtic. And a lot of the best psychics in North America have the Celtic blood, especially if you have a Celtic Cherokee blend, then that's a very psychic blend. Whereas the Haitian native people, the Caribbean or Carib tribe, intermarried with the slaves that are brought over by the French for the plantations which they had built there.
Mm-hmm.
During the 16th and 1700s, and for rum making, all that. But somehow in the blend of the Celts, the more African, and the Caribs, the people there are very, very gifted psychically. And the Rothschilds, who are black magicians, want that as a pool of talent which they can use to do their nastiness.
Mm-hmm. So they will push them into utter submission to accomplish that goal.
Right. Keep them subverted.
And do you think that this attack on Haiti had anything to do with the fact that, let's say, some of the, for lack of a better word, we could say witch doctors or shamans?
The voodoos, the doctors, yeah.
Yes.
I believe that's they're very aware of who's doing what to whom, and they, a few of them would have if you don't have money for an AK-47, and the dictators got those, then use your own innate abilities to attack those who control you.
Use the invisible ammunition.
Right. And I believe that they were so effective in attacking the Rothschilds and the power elites that the power elites have repeatedly sent military forces to get those people.
Mm-hmm. They sound like they're our friends.
I think, talking about that, I had a situation back in 2002 before I started writing essays to Ken Adachi that had a meditation group doing group healing meditations in Salmon Arm. And one of the people who was in the circle was repeatedly being attacked by negative entities.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing we could do could break the entities that were attached to him. And we're asking for help from all sorts of different directions. And so we went back into meditation. And here this fellow, John was doubled over in pain. And we had like four gifted psychics around him. And suddenly we felt the circle of Haitian women come around John and lift off the attack in a matter of minutes. And we realized you could see the circle of grandmothers and mothers circled around the fire in their own meditation circle. It would have been nighttime in Haiti at the time that happened. And we could see that it was nighttime and it was just twilight in British Columbia or evening.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a wonderful job of healing this man how did they locate him?
Yeah, I was going to say you never had contact, obviously.
We had no contact with him. They were out looking around the world for people to heal.
Hmm.
And so I believe that the most gifted of the Haitians are doing blessings mm-hmm. upon other people around the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't believe that circle of women are doing or attacking the Rothschilds. That wouldn't be of their nature. But of course, there are others who would go towards the dark side and having similar gifts. Mm-hmm. Of course, that would be cutting their own throat energetically after a while. And would be identified by the black magicians working for the Rothschilds and then targeted. And so you have the Tonton Macoud of the Duvaliers coming out into the barrios and ghettos of Port-au-Prince or out in the sticks somewhere, trying to locate people and removing them or removing whole families.
Now, when you follow, I don't know about you, but I guess when one follows these groups, and you're, I'm soliciting a comment from you on this. My experience is that when you're looking at a particular issue, it doesn't even matter if it's a political issue or something to do with business, maybe a takeover, a corrupt takeover of another business that's very successful, maybe. There are some deaths, unexpected, anomalous deaths of certain family members of the people who are involved with that corporation or that entity.
Right.
And you notice that when you trace the circumstances, it's easy to identify who's doing this or who's involved.
Yeah, follow the money.
Then it's always the same bloodline, and it always, eventually, it becomes a reptilian issue.
Right.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
I believe that it is reptilian, and I do have some abilities, and trying to remote view them is very difficult. So I have just left it that I do not try to become a fly on the wall looking over them, but I do sense the energy action that is coming out from their controlled action and through the people that they've hired or stolen in order to do their nasty, their, well, you're actually casting curses on their enemies.
Yeah. Now, there was, you know, there's always a disparity with funds that are intended to be relief or represent relief to these people who have lost their homes. They've lost their jobs. They have no food. They have no water. They have no health care. And I don't mean Obamacare. I mean just medical attention, emergency right. medical attention. Even the rescue of these people was impeded. And I came into the knowledge that the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon, actually went there and rescued thousands of people.
Right. The buildings were pancaked.
Yes. They found many people still alive who would have died had we left all of this in the benevolent hands of the people who were collecting billions of dollars under the auspices of providing relief. And that those money still haven't reached those people yet.
Right. That's right.
So I'm not making that up, am I?
No.
Do you see it the same way?
I see it the same way, yeah. The Red Cross is just a scam.
Mm-hmm.
And the Medicine Sans Frontières, or Doctors Without Borders, appears to be doing good work, but there's people, there's reports coming out that there's 400 Cuban doctors in there, have been there since even before the earthquakes, helping Haiti,
mm-hmm.
who seem to be doing more than the Western doctors.
Yes. Now, China also had some serious earthquake problems shortly after the Haitian quake, or quakes, if you want to call it that.
You're talking about actually off the coast, on the Marianas Trench?
Yes, and they approached I should put it the other way around. The United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon,
mm-hmm.
which is an association of 574 planets from this galaxy, which, according to them, is called the Galaxy of Hendon.
Okay.
They don't call it the Milky Way. This is a term that exists just on this planet. And maybe it travels as they go to the moon or Mars or wherever they go. But right. they put forth a formal request to the Chinese government to help those people, to help those victims. And they actually needed the help. They couldn't reach these people. So they went in there with the permission that they could film them. So there are some films the Chinese have of the group.
Wow.
And those will come out eventually.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been keeping track of earthquakes on a daily basis, and I just don't know which part of China you're talking about. Are you talking about just after January 15th last year when the earthquakes stopped in Haiti, or slowed down?
It seemed to me it was within a month of the Haitian quake. It may have been a little bit later.
Okay.
You know, I was doing 10,000 different things.
Yeah.
At the same time, and the days sort of melt into each other, and then you start noticing that the weeks and the months do the same thing.
Okay,
time.
There were some more earthquakes in the Sichuan area, where the 80,000 people died about 5 years ago. Those were artificial earthquakes as well.
Yeah, this is more recent, and I suspected immediately that they were artificial. You know.
Okay.
I don't know that for certain. I could find out, but the point is that there has been assistance. But even the Chinese government, from what I understood, what I was told is that it was a mountainous region and they could not reach these people. They could not easily get the help to that remote region. So they went in there and they helped. And they helped them with a lot of other things besides that. To get them back on their feet, with plants and pure water and things like that, you know, right. plants from other realms,
right?
That are very resistant to a lot of the disease and the pesticides and all of the weird technologies that are bombarding all of us and everything on the planet.
Right.
There's really, you know, this thing has a political motive and it has a financial motive, whether you're talking about Haiti or China or the Indonesian tsunamis or really.
That was an artificial one, too.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was timed perfectly to fit some other events. I wrote about that. Again, that's yes. My Three Stooges Go to Washington article.
Right.
It's the numerology, the satanic numerology is there, you see. And it's right. Very identifiable. When you hear of an event, all you got to do is check what date it is. I mean, if you're not aware of the date, you look at a calendar or a digital clock and you say, oh, there's the numerology. That's why it occurred.
Yes.
You know, we just had another shooting somewhere. I haven't even looked into it after this thing in Tucson, another school shooting. And, of course, we had the 19th. The number 19 is a very satanic day for them, and we had a full moon. Some people are still an hour or slightly less than an hour inside the 19th. So,
right.
On the West Coast, for example. So, these are highly significant ritualistic dates, and the numbers to them mean everything. You know, it scares someone. It creates fear if they don't understand what it is, because they think of spooky movies and ghosts and monsters and devils. And but when you understand they're just the dichotomy of goodness, they're right. they're the other end of the scale. They exist so that the two can exist. But now one faces a choice of, as to which side they're going to belong to. And each choice has its own consequences, doesn't it? I mean, there's
yes.
attached to this. There's a responsibility attached to this. And I say often that ignorance is no excuse for allowing these things to go on either. Right? We sort of have a duty. Is that your
yep.
Let's say is that what makes you tick as an individual?
Yeah. I definitely do not go with the Rothschilds' plan of wiping out 90% of the population. I believe that life on Earth, the population now as it is, because people are coming here to experience life and to enjoy what is happening here on the planet, and that all the attempts to limit the expression of that life are diabolical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's your idea in terms of, let's say, being a co-contributor to the creation?
I believe that we are all on one part or another on that road to that capacity.
Mm-hmm. I think we are on the road. We are the road in some
ways. We are the road. Yeah, well, if you go into the timelessness, you can say we're already there.
Been there, done that.
Yes,
and yet we haven't awakened to the fact as a you know.
We chose to come in here blind.
Mm-hmm. Some more than others, obviously.
Right.
We're not just speaking physically blind, but you're saying, you know, mentally.
One of the spiritual challenges of this planet is to awaken oneself in the face of all the conditions and the darkness that's on the planet. And to awaken to what your full potential is and to become co-creative would be a good feather in your cap in your spiritual evolution.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you don't limit what you're looking at. You seem to be doing something similar to what Ken Adachi is doing and what I'm doing and some others that we know. We're looking at different aspects of this, what's called a reality, and we're sorting out the truth from the fiction or the illusion. And what do you feel was your what was the impetus that got you in touch with Ken, and you know, how did all that come about, if you don't mind sharing that.
Okay. Well, you know about another Don Croft.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading Don Croft and building Orgonite.
Okay.
We can't use that term any longer because somebody put a copyright on it. Orgone generators. and that time period, I started experimenting with pouring metal and resin together. And I poured Croft Chembusters. And I made 7 of them, and they're all over British Columbia now. And I poured thousands of Tower Busters. And I was reading The Adventures of Don and Carol Croft on Ken's site. And I was reading his interpretation of how the energy was working. And having experience working with making a Cloudbuster and pouring Orgonite, I was recognizing that the energy had to do with living transdimensional or interdimensional creatures in the air, air elementals, which are called sylphs.
Mm-hmm.
And that term comes from about 500 years ago from a gifted metaphysician, Paracelsus, who was also a very good scientist, who could see these long, slender bodies flying through the air. In China, they're called dragons. In North America, the Indians call them thunderbirds.
Mm-hmm.
And they're associated with thunderclouds. They're also... So I wrote to Don and told him that what's actually happening, where you're able to punch holes in clouds with your Chembuster at 20 miles away, is that the Chembuster is actually being used as a grounding touchstone,
mm-hmm,
for the elemental being to transmute the alum shavings. So it's working as a place for which the sylph can wipe its feet as such.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs that sort of energy action, or it needs the appreciation, love, gratitude of people on the earth in order for it to facilitate its work.
Mm-hmm.
That's where people could actually, using the visual ray, actually punch holes in the cloud, because elementals were working with the energy of that person who was working in focused intent,
mm-hmm,
to ask for that to happen. So they would know the thought and they would actually vaporize a hole in the cloud with their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to generate heat internally.
Yes, I've been doing that for a number of years myself.
Right.
And I know I've taught others to do it, and it's very real. So
essentially, Orgonite was acting as a living body, or a facility for which the living body of the sylph can do its work. And Don took that into consideration. Then I saw he was continuing on with his explanations on just a straight Wilhelm Reich type of explanation of what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't see as totally correct. So I, seeing that the information was posted onto Ken's educateyourself.org site, I approached, or sent a whole raft of essays, about 6, 7, 8, 9 of them in a row to Ken before he finally said, "This is interesting."
Mm-hmm.
And he started posting them. I was writing about all sorts of different topics.
Yeah. My experience, and of course, this is ever evolving because energy grids around this planet and those that are traveling through space from a variety of sources. And really, when you break it down into simpler elements, you're talking about everything. You're talking about the whole of the creation. Light is known to be information. It's not just photons. And I would presume even that a small portion of the vacuum of space has its antithesis, and that in what appears to be nothing actually is loaded with energy and loaded with information and an infinite amount of possibilities. So these grids, I think, are being used by the sylphs. They recognize them. They know how to travel along them. And they seem to do work that sort of restores or repairs the grid.
Right. I think, they are children of Mother Earth.
Yeah. Do you see chemtrails as interfering with that grid, or do you just see it as something that's just interfering with the atmosphere? Well,
I wrote pieces, looked at it, and looked at HARP, and I've been looking at HARP for 10 or years now, and trying to figure out what they're doing there. Of course, there's weather modification. There's also seeing what the composition of the stratosphere and the upper atmosphere is. But also, I came to a realization about 2 years ago now that what the chemtrails at HARP are doing is a detection grid blocking the higher dimensional craft from coming into the planet, or trying to it's a detection screen. Mm-hmm. So if you have a fifth or dimensional craft that drops into the atmosphere and creates a subtle action, then it'll cause a disturbance in the chemtrail, and the HARP is actually a detection device for seeing that disturbance, and then you will find that there's the secret space program will then attack that incoming craft, because the owners of the Earth do not want any interference from outside, even though these crafts
have it.
I just see this, chemtrails as a multifaceted action of poisoning the planet, as well as controlling and steering weather fronts.
Yes, and it serves as a veil for us to obfuscate what's going on above.
Right, there's just a heck of a lot of activity going on. In fact, there was somebody in England was photographing this a whole bunch of different types of satellites. He was published under Rents.com, and all those pieces have been pulled from Rents, and I haven't seen any more of those strange satellites up there. Mm. And some of those, well, definitely they are a secret space program that's been going on for 60 years now.
Well, there have been battles going on for some years, and some current ones recently, even over Ohio and Toronto, Ontario, Canada, August 25th of 2009.
Yeah. I've witnessed a couple of battles over my town here, and I was seeing actually a chemtrail plane come in and fire a weapon, causing a black line to line up to the point where I knew there was a invisible UFO. You could see a slight wispiness.
Okay. I've spoken about this on some other shows, and I know that there were others who have photographed this. I saw this... I'm going to say it was around Christmas a year ago. I saw this phenomenon of a plane leaving a chemtrail at a very high altitude, and I could see the route it was going to take according to the black line that was in the front of the plane.
Right.
And it followed the curvature of the Earth, and it went all the way to the horizon.
Wow.
And this is a new phenomenon that's being noticed. It's as if the path is being laid out electromagnetically, and it's visible. I don't know if everyone can see it. I certainly saw it, and I've seen it in pictures very recently.
I know people have taken pictures of the dark lines too.
Yeah. So this isn't imagination. We know this is going on. And this is, of course, something that they don't do. That's the official word. This is not happening.
Yeah, well, not published in the newspapers.
No,
of course. Reported on TV.
No, but you can even see it in a cowboy movie or two.
Boy, what year was that taken, that film?
not too many years ago.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, there are films, they're talking about how wonderful crop production is in this one area. These people have been helped financially. And they're spraying chemtrails. At the top of the screen, you can see it.
You know,
yeah. But I saw this in a cowboy movie. I was visiting a friend and walked into the living room. The TV was on and the kids were watching TV. And I took a look at the television set. And these two guys are on a horse. Each is on their own horse. And they're stopped talking to each other. And you have sort of a ground view upward to them, to their faces on the horses. And behind them are these chemtrails being sprayed.
Yeah. Well, the chemtrail planes are actually UFO propulsion systems. And that was seen by an Australian young woman who remote viewed them. And since then, we've had quite a few other people remote view that they are actually UFO, reverse engineered.
Mm-hmm.
And robotically controlled.
Yeah, some of these jets do have anti-gravity because we, on that date that I mentioned, August of 2009, even a local AM radio talk show host went out of the building during a commercial break to look at these jets because they were everywhere across the skies of Ohio. And he remarked how the whole underside lit up. Well, technically, the whole craft lit up. He could only see the underside lighting up because he was standing on the ground.
Right.
From my vantage point, and I was at the airport at the time, sitting at a stoplight and watching this jet really move fast in the direction of where he was broadcasting this show. And I know it was the same jet because I saw the same flash he described several minutes later when he went back into the building and continued broadcasting after the news segment was done.
Right.
And he described this, and he had no answers for it, but the calls were coming from everywhere. They were coming from Canada. They were coming from all over the state of Ohio. And I myself had counted 58 planes, and we determined that there was an underwater base in Lake Erie. We know right. The approximate location of that base, too. And, of course, this escalated. There was an issue going on with the moon at the time. And there were...
Well, is that the time when they tried bombing the moon, dropping a nuke on a crater on the South Pole?
This was around the time they were talking about crashing a satellite on the dark side of the moon.
Well, in the periphery of the moon.
They were looking for water, they said, you know.
Yeah, well, they had a whole bunch of school kids looking at it, and there was a non-event, something, it just didn't happen.
Well, yeah, it was stopped.
Yeah.
It was prevented from happening. And you could see the head of the program get up from his monitor and grab his briefcase and with a huff stomped out of the room. He was disgusted because they weren't able to kill someone.
Some of the good guys came in and rescued.
Yes, that's what happened. So, and there's a lot going on the moon right now, as there is on Mars. I mean, you know, Club Med, if they're not up there now, I'm sure they're planning on going up there
mm-hmm.
for a vacation. There's a lot happening.
Yes.
So, Ken, are you still with us?
Yes, I am, Don.
Okay. I want to let both of you know we have a caller on the line. And I think I know who this is. He does call in from time to time. Gary in Arkansas has been waiting patiently. And I hope he has a question. Gary, welcome to Evident Footprints. Question or comment for either of our guests?
Kind of more or less a comment or maybe some additional information that may be helpful. Ken, you've been gone too long. You need to come on more often.
thank you, Gary.
The situation down in Haiti, that was an induced earthquake using the scalar weaponry.
Hello.
To the shoreline oil and gas reserves and a tremendous amount of gold and silver deposits on that island. Now, on the tie-in between chemtrails and the bird deaths and all this other stuff that's been going on, earthquakes and volcanism, I got from a credible source slash program the chemtrails, they've been spraying these nanoparticle-sized barium and aluminum salts in the atmosphere. And what this has done basically is created an Earth-size or global Leyden jar, which you can store charge in. In other words, it's a giant capacitor between Earth ground and the ionosphere and magnetosphere. And by using their tectonic and scalar weaponry, they can cause a discharge at any point they want on the Earth, moving the tectonic plates and causing the earthquakes. So we're dealing with basically a weaponized Earth. And if you have any conception of the amount of energy in joules that the ionosphere and magnetosphere contain above the Earth, and then you've got the dielectric of the chemtrails in between and all the electron source of ground Earth, you've got one hell of a weapon. I have seen from the space station footage of these, it looks like a lightning bolt coming from the Earth up into the atmosphere. I maintain that this is that discharge that they can create at will at a location.
That's part of it,
gentlemen.
Yeah, I want to make a quick comment, and I want to let my guests comment. There is more in this than just aluminum and barium. There are some 20, I think we counted 27 different heavy metals. Red human blood cells, white human blood cells, three different strains of bacteria, and one being of the Streptomyces variety, which itself has 550 strains or more. That really doesn't have anything to do with what you're talking about. That has that's designed to impact those on the surface of the planet.
You are exactly right on that, and you can get. I think that's the source of Morgellons disease. That's another story.
I do. But ZS, do you want to comment or Ken?
Well, the Leyden jar is actually the description that Tesla gave about 100 years ago regarding his radiant energy or his tower, which he was going to build in Wardenclyffe in Long Island. He is explaining that same thing back then. But the control and the precision of the aiming of these artificial earthquakes, like from the 21st of December to the 23rd, about 200 discharges were hit into about a very small area right on the north of the Marianas Trench, south of Japan, about 1,100 kilometers south of Tokyo, Japan. And anyways, I've been looking at this for a long time, and I can see a specific weapon which was developed by the secret space program, which was patented about 20 years ago, and the patent was actually published on Scientific American, where they had discovered microwaves in the 7 to 8 gigahertz range that push. When you have a sawtooth configuration on the emitting maser, it actually will push something. And the company that developed, started the work in the 1950s, was Rocketdyne out of San Diego. And they actually had liftoff in about 1958, according to an insider, Dr. Paul Lavolette. from stuff that he has heard from his sources. And what this technology is, when you have a UFO come in and it comes near, people see it come to the ground but not touch the ground, it singes the grass. And then when it takes off, there's a cavity in the grass. There's a dent in the grass, when you've come in there, you can measure the weight of the craft or the whatever propulsion system was pushing down on it.
Mm-hmm.
And usually they get 10, 20, 30 tons weight pressure over a 30-foot diameter craft. That type of propulsion or suspended or anti-gravity drive is a polyphase, is a maser. And the big triangular crafts that went over Phoenix very likely are being suspended by this type of drive. And if it comes right over top of you, you'll feel the pressure. Usually they have it in a cone type of, so you're not getting all the pressure if it goes directly over top of you. It will cause your car to, the battery to die and stuff like that, and all your lights to go out in your car. But if you put it into a laser and focus it, and you put a capacitor on it, a very high energy capacitor, which can carry many, many, many joules of power, and you pump that through in a millisecond, you'll create an earthquake machine equivalent to a 4.7 Richter earthquake at 10 kilometers deep.
Mm-hmm.
Is equivalent to a Hiroshima type bomb. That's about 20 kilotons of TNT equivalent. So that's a lot of joules, and it's very specifically pointed. And we've had some remote viewer look in on that craft, and I gave them the specifics of what I was looking for. Something that was about 60 miles up in the atmosphere, and he described it looked like a badminton shuttlecock with a pin sticking out the bobbin, or the ball, and or like a fountain pen. So it had kind of a sculpted point on it. And he said that the whole, it was an anti-gravity propulsion system, and it was sending out beams from a white crystal. From my understanding, it would be gray, but the maser in the fountain pen was being charged from somehow in the body. The remote viewer was guessing solar energy, but I think it would be more over unity propulsion.
Mm-hmm.
They got all sorts of different methodologies of powering up the motors on those things.
Yeah.
But the use of capacity on the earthquakes to the south of Japan on the, right after the eclipse of the 21st, where every 7 to 10 minutes. So it was taking 7 to 10 minutes for them to recharge the capacitor and send another beam down, recharge capacitor, send another beam down.
Mm-hmm.
And the intent was obviously that they were on that subduction zone, which is similar to the situation off the coast of Sumatra, was that they're trying to shake a tsunami loose that would have hit the south coast of Japan full force, and also the coast of China, Okinawa, Guam, northern Taiwan, and it would have been devastating.
Yes. Well, Gary's been patiently holding on there. Gary, I hope that answered your question, at least in part.
Yeah, I have a parting comment. I think that this chemtrails and what they're doing up there is so multifaceted there's just hundreds of patents that are related to this. One other quick thing about the earthquakes and whatnot, there is another application. I assume you've heard of the idea of fracking for oil and gas reserves.
Yes.
By injecting chemicals under pressure.
Yes.
And water into the earth. It is also theorized that they are basically using regionalized fracking by moving the tectonic plates so that the gas and oil will form in caverns and pockets that they know that previously existed. So that may be another application we're looking at. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Okay, thanks for your call. Well, gentlemen, we're about out of time. We're going to continue this discussion tomorrow, though, and I'm sure touch upon some other areas as well as expand the topic that we've covered. Would you like to make a closing comment here, ZS, and then I'll give Ken the same opportunity.
Okay. Thank you very much. And this is my third time on. Of course, it was a long time ago that I was on. And,
yeah, it's been about a year or so. So
yeah.
I'm glad you were able to make it.
Yeah. Right. Thank you very much.
Well, I am very happy to share the show tonight, Don, with you and ZSL. I wanted ZS to have an opportunity to express some of his thoughts. I've never at a loss for a sense of amazement with the wonderful pieces of information that ZSL reveals tonight. He touched upon an extremely important revelation, we might say, about the use of these maser devices. A few years ago, I was in regular communication with Slim Sperlings, who passed away a couple of years ago, but he was a remarkable individual. And he put me onto the work of a man named Philip Callahan, and I obtained all of Phil Callahan's book. Phil, who's still alive today,
mm-hmm.
I think living in Arizona. And he really opened my eyes in those books to what is possible with microwave energy and how you can organize that energy into what are called covalent waves.
Yes.
And this is the basis of these weapon systems, which I believe ZSL just opened a very important door on. So I look forward to continuing the dialogue tomorrow and a continuation of this same area of exploration as we've heard tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, I think just for, you know, the audience sake and for our own preparations, we could open up a discussion on the use of certain electromagnetic devices, the current ones that we have, such as cell phones and Wi-Fi and the Blackberries, all of these units that are emitting just massive amounts of electromagnetic frequencies that are affecting people's health and affecting our reality, affecting our DNA. I've got a clip that I'll open up tomorrow's show with in that regard. And I think, you know, give it some thought and we'll include that as well as some of the things that Gary mentioned. More gallons. I know, Ken, you've been looking at that. And I agree with him. I think I was one of the first ones to come out on internet radio and actually make the connection between more gallons and the chemtrails. And I was poo-pooed by a lot of scientists and even some doctors, but then they came around later on and said, no, you're right. All the evidence points to that.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So that would be a very worthwhile topic. People really need to know what these devices are doing.
Yes, absolutely. It's a very important area to touch on because, yes, I'm very concerned about it. And I've put up a number of articles talking about the dangers of electromagnetic pollution and particularly the use of cell phones. And, you know, we're mm-hmm. virtually being drowned in a sea of electromagnetic pollution. And you have to be concerned about it. You just can't take it too lightly and get every new Wi-Fi gadget that comes on the market. It's working against you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you both for being on the show. Ken Adachi, the website again is educate-yourself. Pretty simple. You got to put the dash in there, though. Otherwise, you're going to end up on a park page and you're not going to be very happy. Right. Educate-yourself.org, O-R-G. And ZS's work is featured there all over the website. Many of the archives that I've done with Ken are also posted on the site. You got a really interesting one from June 9th, 2009 that he posted. It's gotten a large number of hits in
almost 12,000 hits in just the past week and a half or so, which is remarkable for a single show that we did. Yeah,
there's a lot of truth that came out that night, so it's worth listening to. But I thank you for the work you're doing, Ken, and you too, ZS. I love reading your articles and getting your insight as to what you see going on. And
thank you.
It's always, valuable for me to compare what I think is going on to what you see, and often we're in 100% agreement. So my hat's off to you. In fact, I didn't even have one on, but so it's still off, okay?
Okay.
All right. I look forward to seeing both of you gentlemen again tomorrow night then. And that wraps it up, folks. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and Ken Adachi and Zernova Star Livingstone. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting the show. Also over at BBS Radio, I want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Again, join us tomorrow night when we continue this discussion. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.